Well, good morning again.
Good morning.
We're in the Holy Spirit class, and I thank the Lord for this is really interesting, this book that she wrote. When I first started going to, after I got saved, I was seeking the Lord about the Holy Spirit. I wanted to learn these kind of things. So I went to a holiness church, and I learned a lot of things, and it was good. And when I started going in the Lord's presence and studying the Word for myself, He started teaching me, you know. And I learned, you can tell how God feels sometimes. And if you do something that He doesn't like, you can feel it. And I started paying attention to it. And with everything with God, it grows. We're developing, so we develop in character. And there are things that she's talking about, negative responses to the Holy Spirit. And we made it to a event where we talked about grieving the Holy Spirit, vexing the Holy Spirit, offending the Holy Spirit. And today we'll start with quenching the Holy Spirit. Now, one of the verses that stood out a long time ago was quench not the Holy Spirit. And I wanted to make sure I'd never do that. But again, I didn't trust Thurston to do to be perfect with that. But the Lord will help you go forward. Things that cause people to quench the Holy Spirit, one of them is fear. That's one of the most common things. When you fear something, when the Lord gives you something to do and you don't do it because of fear, if you don't overcome it, you won't grow any forward. You won't make progress in that area. You won't see what will happen if you follow through. Now she wrote quenched. Bottom of page 26 says, as a gentle person, the Holy Spirit does not insist against our will that we obey Him. He wants the kingdom of God is a volunteer army. Everybody wants to be in God's army. They love Him in spirit and in truth. They believed on Jesus Christ. If a person can believe on Jesus Christ as their Savior and make Him their Lord, they don't want the world. They want Him. They're sincere. Faith is the highest form of sincerity. I used to think it was worship, but faith has to be first. If you can believe God, if you can take Him at His word, you believe Him. Then from there you'll worship Him. Without faith, your worship won't be sincere because you're taking God at His word. When he gave me definitions sometime, and I thought about another one I never asked Him about, and that's the word believe. The word believe, it's the first step of faith. That's the beginning. Believing is faith.
Yes.
Just like a sperm and an egg at conception is a person, so is believing. I said, what's your definition of believing? He said, it's received truth. That's the truth of God's word that you receive. God speaks His word, you receive it, you believe it. You believe it because you've received it. Believing is an action word because you did something. You received that word. Now the false prophet's going to cause people to receive the mark.
So you should say receive truth with action?
Well, receiving is that's an act.
Okay, but I'm talking about you can receive the truth and believe it, but if you don't follow me just because... Sometimes you have just an action. And I see what you're talking about. It's going to be an action because it is an action.
When it's
going to... understood.
It develops and it becomes faith that you speak and act on. But because you received it, that's the conception of faith. That's the very beginning. The first stage of faith is believing. And Jesus went all the way back to that. He said, he that believes will do greater works than me. Because they receive God's word. And the world tried to stop it. We all know the battles we went through before we believed. there were all kind of thoughts and opinions and persuasions that were out there that was roaring against our will to follow God. And even after we got saved, people tried to talk us out of it, work against us, ostracizing, being a nuisance. I heard on the radio yesterday a girl, she was devout in high school, and she never had sex, and she was committed to God, and they laughed at her, and she had to do a speech, and they put a sign up there that was derogatory against her, and she did her speech, and she saw that sign, and she went home, and instead of staying at the place, she went home, and her grandfather was there, and she told him what happened. She was crying, and he comforted her, and the next day, one of the girls came to her and said, I stayed up all night crying. I didn't do you right. I'm sorry. I was one of the ones that was against you. And she said, I know that Jesus is real in you now, and I'm sorry. I want you to pray for me. I want to get saved right now. And another girl saw her getting saved, and she got saved. And she went back and told her grandfather, and she said, get all the girls that want to come and bring them to church. And they all came to church, and they got saved. The very ones that was against her. Now, they were friends, but they were picking on her, and it hurt, you know. But they ended up getting saved, and now they're friends in college. And the lady that comes on after me on the ride, listened to her broadcast, and she was talking about it. Satan is the one behind it, not people. People don't know. And people in the world don't know what it's like to be a Christian. They don't feel that joy you feel and the peace you feel. They don't have that glorious hope that you have. They're running on fumes of the world. Mm-hmm. They're running on lies. Anybody that believes Satan's word, that's not faith. That's deception or rebellion. One of the two. That's a false concept. Deception is a lie, so it can't be faith. It's anti-faith. So the world there's nothing in the world that they can experience that can compare to salvation. And since I brought that up, people that get saved as a child, their spirit is lit. Mm-hmm. And if they get saved as a child, they don't know what it's like to be a sinner disconnected from God. A child before the age of accountability, they're in the kingdom.
Yes.
They are sinners, but they don't know what it's like to be disconnected to where their heart is hardened.
I see what you're talking about.
And they don't know what it's like to be trapped by sin. Unless they unless they have an addiction or their mothers took drugs or something like that and they got on it. They don't know what it's like to be disconnected from God because they feel good. When your spirit is lit, you feel, it's different than when your spirit's not lit. When I reached the age of accountability, the Lord spoke to me. I didn't realize it was him till later on. He said, you're on your own now. And when he said that, I knew it. But I didn't realize it was him talking. I knew I needed to get saved because I understood about salvation and I knew what sin was. I could judge sin. So he said, you're on your own now. And I know what it's like to not feel God's presence and be totally disconnected from it. Then when I got saved, I said, oh, it was even better than when I was a child. I said, how come people didn't tell me it was like this? I never felt that kind of peace and joy till I believed on Jesus. 6 months later, I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So I know what it's like to be a Christian before you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. Some people, when they believe, they receive the baptism right then, and they don't know what life is like without the guidance of without the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I couldn't control my tongue. I said bad words. I kept asking the Lord to help me with it for 6 months. But when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's like it was gone. I could control my mouth. And a lot of things happened. Now it didn't happen just because the Holy Spirit. I was still putting forth effort, but it was easy. So any kind of growing that we need to do, it's easy when you rely on the Lord. But people don't feel the same way you do, and they can't see what you see. They're looking at, well, there's got to be some ulterior motive that they're so dedicated to God besides what you're telling them, because they can't understand it until they believe for themselves. So fear is something that cripples a person. If it's torment, it's a tormenting thing. If you do that, you're going to look bad. It's not going to work. They're going to reject it. They're going to reject you. They're going to laugh at you. And if you don't bully through, if you don't go forward and take your position, do the things of God, you won't learn what's going to happen after that. But when you do, you learn that it's going to be good, and you begin to trust the guidance of the Lord when he gives you something that you wouldn't normally do, when he gives you something to do that you wouldn't normally do. So God is patient. He knows that we go through stages. But if we quench the Holy Spirit, we stop in the process. She said on page 26, she wrote the word quench. She said, as a gentle person, the Holy Spirit does not insist against our will that we obey him. He wants to be invited and welcome into our lives. Then he patiently persuades us of truth and righteousness. From there, we use our faith and do it. We don't know what to do. I don't know what the next step is, the next step of wisdom from the Holy Spirit, till he reveals it. But when he does, I believe it. I receive what he say. I believe it. And then I'll speak it by faith, just like I do if I'm believing him for healing or something else. As a minister, you have to believe in what you're doing, because everything of the kingdom of God progresses by faith. Speak life to whatever you do. Amen. And don't quench the Holy Spirit. If he says something, it's way important. It's more important than we can realize. From there, use your faith and say, I will do this. I will conquer. I will go forward. I will speak that word. And then by your faith, tell Satan, and you can't stop me from doing this work. You can't hinder them from hearing. I rebuke the spirit of blindness. You can't turn their ear away from God. You can fight for other people, whoever he sent you to. You can't send people to interrupt, because he's going to try it. And you use your faith and secure that word and do it. And you won't quench the Holy Spirit. And guess what? You don't have to fear that you are quenched the Holy Spirit. You can do the things of God in full confidence as a warrior. Remember, you're the toughest thing on earth. A lion is not. He's stronger, but he don't have faith. And you got faith and angels to help you do whatever you do.
And he outspeaks the rulers, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm. If our spiritual weapons can pull down strongholds that's behind the works of darkness, there's nothing on earth. They're way outclassed. So when it comes to Satan, you outclass him. Jesus put him under your foot. He's no match for you. He's no match for you. No match for you. So what you say goes. And fighting him is as easy as a cakewalk if you win the battle here. If you determine, and if you're full of faith in your heart, you won. You speak whatever you want to speak. You can tell Satan he got to stop. If you see him doing something in another country, ISIS, North Korea, anybody doing something wrong, you can say, Satan, you can't use those nuclear weapons. Stop your plan. And he's got to, if you can believe it, he's got to do it. He has no choice about it. And you can enjoy the process of God's work. And the Lord taught me things like this. And you have to, it can be puzzling to your mind, because you think, well, I got to go and pray to get power to do that. No, if you can believe the word, you can speak it, and it will happen. That kind of prayer is to help you make adjustment when you're wrestling in prayer. When you go in prayer, and you're just like in Gethsemane, Jesus, he wasn't dealing with Satan. He was dealing with himself.
Yes.
Not my will, thy will be done. You can condition your heart as strong as you want it to be. And that's the kind of prayer. That's what he was doing. He said, oh, sleep on now. After three, he went to him three times, told him to pray. He went to sleep. But when he won, he sleep on now. It didn't matter no more.
That's good. I never thought about that. Mm-hmm. When he won, he'd already finished the battle. They didn't need to help him stay there praying.
Yeah.
It was fine. It's good. I never thought about that because he didn't win the battle.
And it was wise for him to get them to pray.
Yes.
Because they were resources.
Yes.
Use all your resources.
That's why it's important to pray for each other. Jesus needed it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm sure they prayed with him for him for a while before they fell asleep.
Mm-hmm. If you're doing something that can be a challenge to you and you know it, get your family, friends, others to pray with you, people of faith. They're resources.
Yes.
It's free. And it'll work. And responding to his gentle guide, his gentle guidance.
If,
is the key. And when I confess that I will do all that's in his heart, when I pray it, confess it, speak it, I'm conditioning Thurston for the future.
Yes.
From the present to the future, I'm conditioning myself in case the Lord say something, I'll be all in about it. I want to be fully persuaded. I don't want to be half persuaded, partially persuaded.
That's a whole book, just say it.
Because I have failed before. and I asked some questions after I failed. See, failure, like Ray said, failure is a teacher too. If you fail, you can always relearn. You can learn something after you fail. I go and ask, I say, Lord, okay, why did I do that? Why did I fail? And he showed me things. And I partially know, but he know the, you know, more of it. So I started having faith in what he said. If the Lord ever speaks to you repetitiously, he's helping you have faith for something.
Okay.
Because he don't speak repetitiously for nothing. I noticed this when I watched him. As long as I'm in faith, he'll give me confirmations if I ask for them. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I ask for them. Sometimes I just know that I know and I know and I don't ask for them. But if I say, okay, Lord, I received that knowledge, but I need a confirmation. He'll call somebody to say it. If it's something very new to me, I ask for confirmations. Because, you know, I want to stay balanced and I don't want to go off on a tangent. I'm not afraid that I'll do it, but I don't want to. So I'm at a church where people hear from God. And he always calls somebody to say something that I need. They're a resource. Everybody's a resource. And you have to use the resources that are available. If they're not available, you're just going to have to trust them yourself. But when there's resources, and the Lord will use anybody and everybody at his will, you have to pay attention to them and then receive what he say and then buckle down and do it. Be all in about it. The joy rises up just because you're all in, because you're committed to it.
You're like Mary, the mother of Jesus. She was just asking questions. She believed, but you were asking for...
Yeah.
Not, you know, you're doing it from a loving, believing, okay, mm-hmm. How are we going to do this, Lord? And he knows you're going to do it. It's very joyful.
She's the one I learned it from.
Oh, okay.
I had a message called, What is in Your Heart? And this was at Christmas night of, it was 1989, I think. We met at, we had church that night. And the Lord said, What is in your heart? And he used Mary. Every time the angels gave her, told her something, she pondered it in her heart.
Yes.
And I used that scripture, and I started doing it. Mm-hmm. That way you can be as dedicated as you want, as dedicated as you need to be, or as dedicated as you desire to be.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no doubt that you'll finish whatever it is God gives you to do.
So meditation's important.
Mm-hmm. And this is the road to... not quenching the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
You will never quench the Holy Spirit doing these things.
Mm-hmm.
2 Peter chapter 1 says, if you do these things, verse 10, you'll never fall. That's add to your faith virtue, the virtue knowledge, all the things that he said. You'll never fall.
Mm-hmm.
When I first read that, I said, wait a minute. Never is a big word. I like this scripture, so I started studying. That's exactly what, that's the road to not quenching the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it's not just fear, it's an unknown. You didn't see anybody else do it. Sometimes you're just going to have to be a pioneer. Because he'll call you to do things that you've never seen done before. And you'll be the first one on earth to do it in some cases. But it's biblical. Because the Holy Spirit, whatever he give you, it will be Bible-based. It will be biblical. And there are times you're just going to have to trust him. But as long as you're in faith, ask for a confirmation. But if he keep coming to you with something, saying the same thing, believe it with all you got, because he's preparing you. You know, the website that he gave me, before I did that stage of the website, the Lord kept telling me something every day. He said, people are going to come and listen to you. Okay. He kept saying that for years. And then he gave me the website. Bro, I can't see the people coming. I never see them. Go on the website and listen to it.
But you know people are coming.
But they're coming. And I can tell by the word that he give on the website. Because he's talking to people. To me, it's a lot of it is repetitious, but he's talking to people that's learning things. So I believe in that work because he kept coming to me for years saying, and I'm like, no, nobody's coming to me asking questions. I thought I would see them. No, he don't give you all the details. But when he gave me the website, I knew what he was talking about. And then he confirms it through other people. Now, sometimes the work that he gives you to do can be so strange to you, but don't quench the Holy Spirit and don't fear quenching it. Just enjoy the ride. Satan's defeated. You're not. He's defeated. So he tried it. The only way he can stop the process is to get you to doubt what God is doing in you and with you. Otherwise, he's defeated. He doesn't want to be defeated, but he is. But if he can get you to stop, then the whole thing stops, and God can't. You'll quench the Holy Spirit, and nothing will be done, and God will have to reorganize. The good thing is he has other plans to time run out. But what he brings to you is the best one. When it comes to you, you may not be the first choice. You may be the 10th choice. But when it gets to you, the buck stops with you. You don't quench the Holy Spirit. My nephew used to go to Creflo Dollar's church, and he said Creflo said that he was the third choice for that anointing. The other two guys didn't do it. They quenched the Holy Spirit. But he received it, and he went forward with it. As you go forward, let the Holy Spirit build the whole thing. Don't stop. If you can get to a certain stage, even in the anointing, and stop there, you'll stay in that plane. But it shouldn't be that way. That was my message. If you follow the Holy Spirit, you'll continue to ever increase. And there are greater things ahead. But sometimes people get to a point where other people are doing, and they don't see this new thing that God wants to introduce, they stop. Most people do that, and they stop far short of what God really had in store for them. Now the work can still be a big work to us, but God has to reorganize wherever they stop. But if they continue, God, you'll continue and you'll ever increase until you finish your course. Since I said that, it's possible to finish your course and do a bonus.
Oh.
You're not going to die just because you finish your course. You can finish your course and you can, just like a man can live 70 years and then live 10 more, God can use you in excess. You can finish your course and he can cause you to do even greater works. And sometimes that's because other people didn't do something. He'll just give you a longer life and you'll continue. He'll give you whatever you need to fulfill it. Longer life, health, prosperity, whatever it is you need. Every time the anointing comes, whatever it takes to finish that thing comes with it. Whether it's finances, health, long life, wisdom, knowledge, whatever you need, it's coming. So you have to be receptive to the Holy Spirit and never quench it. good things are in store. She said, continually, if we do not choose to obey the Holy Spirit, we will quench his work in our lives. The word picture in the Greek for quenching the Spirit is literally choking the throat of the Holy Spirit. One way we can do that is by refusing to heed his convincing word to our hearts about our sin. Now, sin is something that normally that can quench the Holy Spirit too. Most believers don't do that. They rise above sin, and they stop at the next step. They quench him at the next step that they're not used to. Instead of getting confirmations and treating and receiving it with faith, they stop and they do what they're used to. They do what they're used to doing. Now, they don't know what they're not doing. They don't know what they're throwing away because they never seen it. But the whole, and I asked the Lord, why did you do it this way? Or why do you, you can do that. And he'll give you revelation and wisdom. And you say, wow, okay, I understand. But until he do that, stay in faith. But when he show you the reason he do something peculiar, the peculiar way, when he reveal it to you, it's going to make so much sense, you're going to be in awesome joy about it. And you'll believe it even more. The more you love, the more you live. The more you love, the more you live. That's the engine, our love. That's why we use our faith. That's why we go forward. That's why we do the things we do. That's why we pay tithes and offerings and help people. It's to help people live. And then because of that, spiritual wealth gets on our life and we increase. That's why we ever increase. When I first started paying tithes, I paid a lot less than I pay now. Because you ever increase. Every raise you get is because you were being a blessing. God will bless the whole company to bless you.
Amen.
Because you're doing right. A lot of people are going to be blessed because you're blessed. It's not just for you, it's for others too. Other families are going to be helped because God can do it that way. He subdues things. While things are going right, he adds more with it. She said one way we can look back up. The word picture in the Greek for quenching the Holy Spirit is literally choking the throat of the Holy Spirit. One way we can do that is by refusing to heed his convincing word to our hearts about our sin. As individual believers, we can expect the Holy Spirit to speak truth to us about our lives. And that's real important. Sometimes the truth that he shares with you is not always favorable. If you have a friend that's not your friend, the Lord can show you that. If somebody has ulterior motives against you, the Lord can show you that too. If a Christian that loves God won't believe in what you're doing, the Lord can show you that. Some things that he'll show you is for your own benefit. Not that he hates them, he loves them. He'll give you wisdom so you'll know how to walk. You'll know how to tread with them. You'll know how to deal with them. And you'll know how to encourage them. But if you're about to marry somebody that's not right, the Holy Spirit will show you that. If you're about to marry somebody, I told a guy at work, I said, if you're about to marry somebody and the Lord warned you, the enemy is going to make it look good to fool you. But if he show you somebody to marry and he show you that'll be a good fit, because people are, they have to have, Billy Graham said that the first step of having a good marriage is marrying the right person. When it's a good fit and the Lord revealed that to you, the enemy's going to make it look wrong. And he started laughing. I said, he's going to try to find a way to separate you from the perfect will of God. So the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. Whatever he brings to you, put that on the top shelf. That's the best decision you can ever make. All right. So as individual believers, we can expect the Holy Spirit to speak truth to us about our lives. It is imperative that we yield to his gentle but clear leading as he desires to counsel us and lead us into all truth. If we do not, we may be guilty of quenching his presence in our lives. In that case, we are left with our sin nature in control until we choose to repent and allow the Holy Spirit to govern us again. And we must understand that it is possible to quench the moving of the Holy Spirit as church bodies also. Yeah, sometimes people don't yield to them. They format the service and don't budge from it. And the Holy Spirit can't save lives like he wants to. Some people, they need that word that he was sending. And they need, somebody may need healing. Can you imagine all the people that got healed in the church didn't get that healing? Many of them would be dead. But the church, the pastor yields to the Holy Spirit and the people yield to the Holy Spirit. When he has a word of knowledge to pray for something, people, they receive it. They go up there and receive it. And they're alive now. And I've never been in a church that don't do as many funerals. This is the first church. It take a long time before a funeral comes up. Because people are getting healed. Because people are not quenching the Holy Spirit. And and the enemy hates it. I love it. Okay, we'll stop there. We'll pick up next week on page 27. But the Lord is mightily moving by his Spirit. Good things are in store. Never underestimate what God will do in your life. And when you go forward not quenching the Holy Spirit, you may end up doing a mighty work that you really can't see yet. You may not see the fullness of it till you go to heaven. But the Lord will guide you, and you'll know that you're on